And we thank you again for the privilege to come to the house of God. We open this precious book again, Lord. We sure need your help. And I pray it'll be a blessing tonight to give us some insight as we head in this year. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, read verse 7 down to about verse 21. Then we'll get right into the message. 4 points. We'll be out of here. It won't take just a few minutes. No longer than 2 hours. That's a few minutes in. Amen. And I think about what we're having to face today, this world. You're seeing people that are really, you wonder what's going on. Road race and everything else, and Barbara and I was just traveling somewhere just this past week, and we were going along with the traffic, and all of a sudden some guy was behind us, and he couldn't get around the left side, so he just pulled out the right side and gunned it. Sounded like Indianapolis 500 taking place. Whipped back in front of another fellow in front, and we just see a lot of things that's happened today that seemed to go against the grain. I read where there was a young woman, a lady, she had 800 numbers for her home and a few things she was trying to do. And there was a great major organization who also got the same number, 1-800 number, calling. And when she found out she had it, she called this company and she said, "Sir," she said, "I have you to know that I have that number already. You need to change your number." He said, "Can't be." So, "Yes, I have that number already. I've had it for 20 years. And they said, "We're not going to do that. It costs us a lot more to change. We've done change our paperwork, our invoice. Everything we have has that number on there. It's going to cost us a lot to change that number. And you need to change yours." She said, "No, sir. I don't think I need to change mine." And they said, "Well, you're going to just have to deal with calls." She said, "I'll tell you what I do. I'll keep it right where it's at. And every person that calls me about a bill, I'm going to tell them their bill's paid in full." He said, next day they changed their number. I thought that's pretty good. You know, that's about truth, though. One day God's going to reveal truth. And we're going to find out when he said he paid our sin debt, he paid it. And we're going to be in the presence of God because of that. Now, if you look with me in 2 Timothy, you're going to talk about Scripture a little bit. Paul made this statement as he read in chapter 2, verse 7, down a few verses. He says, "Consider what I have to say, what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I don't know how many times I pray, "God, help me get it right, and then help me what I say, and may people understand what I'm saying." Because it's one thing, first, to study to try to find truth. Second thing is to filter that through your mind and process to give it out in words. And then it's another thing for a person to capture those words in their heart and it do something for them. That's a process it has to go through. And he said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to bonds, but the word of God is not bound." I love that verse. Paul said, "I've suffered much for the cause of Christ, even in bonds now." But he says, "I want you to know, I may be bound, but you cannot bound the word of God. It will go beyond bounds." And that's what's so amazing about that. The ministry of this church is kept where we got now in our archives and so forth. Wherever that is used in the future, it can't be bound. You cannot bound God's word once it's released. And so you can put people in bonds. But Paul said, you can't bound the word of God. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad if you speak the right word, God will honor that even after we're gone? Look at Audubon Green. He'd been in heaven for years, and he's still winning souls. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Amen. Then notice he said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." It's a fearful saying. Or it's a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And that's unbelievable. That's understandable. If a person denies Christ as the way of life, then he has to deny them. They end up in hell. Amen? Amen? Are you here? Are you out there? Amen? So it goes on and tells us, if man denies the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ will end up denying them. But he still won't deny them without showing they have grace for him, doesn't he? And he said, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance," he says, "Timothy, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit." Why? Because those things only lead to subverting of the hearer. And in turn, that means that they corrupt and destroy the hearer if they're striving over words rather than truth. And said, then he tells in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice, in turn, shun profane and vain babbling, for they were increasing to more ungodliness. And their word, well, he does a canker. And he said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have error, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, lest the foundation of God stand is sure. I'm glad of that. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, do you hear what I just read? You hear what Paul told Timothy? Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Isn't it an amazing thing today? You're hearing all kinds of things. If people be saved, don't worry about it. You're just living where you want to live. You see that? Watch it. Watch the main line today that anybody can just trust the Lord and get your ticket to heaven. That's all that matters, because in grace, God forgives everything. We better watch out, because there is no such a thing as being new in Christ Jesus, having a new creation, and still live like the evil of the world. Because it makes a change in us. It may be a long time and take sin some of that change, but it does make a change. And so we'll study right to divide the word of God. And he said, who concerning the truth have error, saying the resurrection is a bit past already. And again, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Notice he said, everyone that nameth the name of Christ. And that's only those who trust him. But he said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that set apart, made for the master's use, and prepare to every good work. Now, I want to speak to you a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight on this subject, four things that happens. And believe me, this is true. Four things that happens when you don't read or study the Bible. If you're not taking a daily diet or a weekly diet or some type of diet of this book, not only just reading can do good, but the volume is not as much as what we get in the information we get. And we need to study so in turn that we can understand these four things. Now, you've heard me say before in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God said through Hosea that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we have the knowledge in this book. Isn't it amazing, though? What a shame that God's people in the age of grace would be destroyed because of lack of knowledge when we have such a precious book before us. Read it, and if you're saved, have the Holy Spirit in us to help us understand what God wants us to see. God's word is information. Information can become, you heard me say before, revelation, and I can give you information, but only God can give you the information, and only God can take that information and give you revelation through interpretation as he helps us understand the scripture. You can hear anybody explain the scriptures unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you correctly by you wanting to know the truth indeed, then it'll never become part of you as it would be if you would listen and then ask the Holy Spirit to help you see that truth, because truth will reveal itself, and the Holy Spirit does just that. So when Jesus was here, I told you one time a few weeks back that he could only be with the disciples when he was with them. But thank God in the Holy Spirit, he's with us all the time. If the disciples had to ask the question, they had to go where Jesus was at, or having Christ come where they were at. If you have a question, we have the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you if you're saved. So we have access to the Word of God. And so if you're saved, we don't have to go looking for the Holy Spirit to find answers, because here he's promised to bless the Word in our heart. And so when God tells us, what God tells us in this book is not for him to know. It's for us to know. God wouldn't have to write it for him to know. Are you with me tonight, folks? It's written for us to know. And God is not going to give it to us automatically. We're going to have to spend some time with him and ask for that knowledge, and he'd give us that growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. So my prayer as I look at this subject is my prayer that my Heavenly Father would help my mind to be sharp, help my thought to be, my tongue to be clear, my thinking to be swift, my life to be holy, living best I can learn. And the reason for that, so I can glorify him as my Father, I can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can also submit to the Holy Spirit of God by presenting my body a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. And he said that's a reasonable service. So when I approach this tonight about the scriptures and what helped me to do in these four errors, I realize that the Holy Spirit, through inspiration, gives me truth. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit, through revelation, it gives me the ability to know that truth. It's one thing to just know there is a truth. It's another thing to know that truth. Inspiration gives us the truth, but I find also that revelation from God through interpretation helps me understand that truth, and through illumination, he gives me understanding of truth. So I follow that procedure tonight, understanding about four things when you don't read your Bible or study the Bible that happens. And the first thing is simply this. Turn with me. We see in 2 Timothy already, study, show thyself proven unto God, workman not need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, if you look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 10, you find that Peter says this, as the Holy Spirit moves on him, on his heart, he said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail or fall. And he lists some things in verses before this. So what I'm saying to you tonight, that when you don't read or study your Bible, your sin is distorted. Because where are you going to find anyone to explain what sin is? Not the world. Because if you look at the definition for the world for sin, they don't have no such thing as sin. But the Bible's the only place that gives us sin. So if I don't study the Bible, then I'm going to find out your sin, my sin is distorted. And look at what's happened today. As a matter of fact, we began to use different names for sin. Instead of lying, we exaggerate the truth. Or we call it a fear. Instead of stealing something, we rip it off. Instead of swearing or cursing, we use foul language. Instead of being a drunkard, we're an alcoholic. Instead of committing adultery, we had an affair. And on it goes. The Bible tells it like it is. And I say to you, when you are absent from the Scriptures, your sins get distorted. Because if we not have the Scripture, which is true, counteracting what we hear, we're creatures of gradualism, and suddenly what the world offers, we begin to pick and choose to fit our mold where we're at. And that's when you see in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against him. That is God. So the first thing is this. If I'm not in this book, sin in this world will be distorted, and it won't be like God calls sin. Look at the nation of Israel, and you see the same thing happen over the periods of years. And you look at this nation, what it was years ago, and they say, well, that's a different time because they were old folky folks. They were just too strong. Listen, there's no one any stronger about what to do and not do than God. You don't get no stronger than him. And there's nobody in this earth can live as strong as his word sets forth without being ridiculed about it. And there I'll tell you another thing that you find that sometimes it's hard to do, and then sometimes it's easier to do than we make like it is. So God is saying, your sin is distorted when you're not studying the Bible. Number two, when you're not reading and studying the Bible, our hope is deluded. Look in Romans chapter 8, and we see down about verse 24. Romans chapter 8, read a couple of verses. In 24 and 25, Paul talks about hope here. He said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? He uses the word hope, but we don't hope like the world. Our hope is faith. Our hope is the reality of that which we cannot see to know it's there. And one day, that faith which brings the hope that God gives us, we're going to see it and no longer have to have the faith or have the hope. Our hope is a reality. In verse 25, he said, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait patiently for it. In Ephesians, turn with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4, and look down about verse 11 through 15. And the Apostle Paul made this statement. He gave us the gifts of the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everybody want to fill their place. And if so, we're going to find ourselves growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord till we come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. No, it is perfect man. We come unto that. Why? We have a perfect creation in us in Jesus Christ, but we as people, human beings in a body of flesh, have a long ways to go to meet the criteria that's in us. This flesh will never meet the criteria that's in us. We have to overcome the flesh, and eventually God will help us overcome it by eradicating and getting rid of the flesh. Aren't you glad of that? And that one thing I thank God for, it's going to come a day. I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to see how much I've done it right in my life. And sometimes when I hear criticism, I get a lot once in a while, I just think back and look at the scripture and say, God, when I have to give an account to you one day, I hear you say, and that's all that really matters, if it's right or if it's wrong. And I'm glad if it's right, you're going to bless. If I miss it somehow or another, it won't be because I did it intentionally. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his grace. It's by his grace we're going there anyhow. It's by his grace that we're saved. It's by his grace that he died for us and paid our sin debt. And we'll be there because of his wonderful, wonderful grace. And he goes off and talks about this. That he gives us these things so we henceforth, verse 12, not be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Speak the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ, in Christ, for whom the whole body is fitted to join together, compared that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, measure maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's a lot of words just saying, we as a body of believers in here, as we try our best, excuse me. As we try our best to do what God wants us to do, all of us have something that others don't have. And God says, when you put it together in that love to work together, like we talk in this place and other, work together for the cause of Christ, there's no telling what God might do through a body like that. Amen. And he's telling us of that as we look about, thinking about studying the God's Word. We have to study his Word to understand these things. So our hope is diluted. To dilute something, you water it down. So that's what happens with hope when you don't study your Bible. Because if we're not studying the Scripture, we're not growing. And other things are about, we're creatures that know knowledge. We're going to be learning every day of our life. Amen. It may be subconsciously, but we're going to be learning things. And if we're not careful, we don't have something to counteract that which is wrong and apply it, then our life gets a little further and a little further away from the Lord. And that's not a good place to be as we're expecting him to come any day. So without regular infusion of hope from the Bible, we will easily fall into despair. And feelings of hopelessness will grow instead of security in the promise of God. If you want to be tossed around by every struggle and succumb to every sorrow and to be overcome and overwhelmed by the pain of this world, just neglect these scriptures. And they will come automatically. This world is full of it. Satan has got more Satan got more things you've ever seen, I've ever seen, to use against God's people. That's all there is to it. And so if I don't understand what this does about the scripture, this scripture is the only thing that's aligned to begin to help me do things. You know, ladies and gentlemen, amazing thing when I think about repentance. You know, it's a light word, kind of, but it's a tremendous big word. And you think about, we're headed down a life pathway. Take a freeway out here, for instance, one of these big freeways. And you know, you're headed down, you're going in a direction. And as you're going down this direction, you're headed towards a destiny. All of a sudden, coming towards you in the family of God is a different direction. It tells us which is the way of truth. And it tells us that we're headed the wrong way. Now, when that happens, I have to decide myself if God is revealing to me this is the wrong way or not. Or is it just something to be done? And to receive Christ as my Savior has to change me around. But there has to be some decision made for that change. And it's like, I'm going this way, but my destiny should be this way. And so when I come to that place through Christ and repent, then I have to find myself turning from something towards something. That's what repentance means. And then you think about women just a moment. If you're riding down the road and suddenly you say, you know, I'm going the wrong way. You're headed to maybe somewhere or another. You say, you know, the map I got on there, I hit the wrong way. Most all freeways has a ramp off, right? There's an exit to get off. And you make a decision to get off, but when you get to the up to the at the all on that ramp, there's a stoplight or stop sign. You've got to go either straight across and head the same way you're going, or turn right or left. But to turn around, right then you need to turn left. And it's like the decision to be made. I've got to make a change. I'm in the wrong direction. You get up to the top of the ramp, and you say, "Which way should I go?" And these, all of a sudden, you see there is an archway over to the other section you come from. And when you see that, all of a sudden, that's like the archway of grace. You come up, I need to change, that's the way of grace. And all of a sudden, you find yourself saying, man, that's where I want to go. And because of God's grace, you go over, then you have to realize, but this grace is leading me where? In the opposite direction. And so I go down a ramp on the other side. And now all of a sudden, I have made decisions. It's like repentance. You and I go, we get saved, born again, we repent, then we use the ramp of grace to go over to the side of the lane going back towards heaven instead of in the opposite direction. And sometimes you've been traveling. How many times you've been traveling down a road and you went a long ways before you realized you're on the wrong road? And by the way, thank God I was only 19 years old, but sometimes people, that was a long time. Sometimes we go a long ways on the road towards our destiny, hell. And so what happens is, he turns around. Have you ever seen this, though? If I go a long ways, and I've seen this happen, it seems like when I'm going towards a destiny somewhere or another, it seems like I'm never going to get there. But when I start home, it's a lot faster. Are you that way? I say, well, we never there. The kid said, anyone got there yet? No, you know. And you'd say, well, then you turn around, you start back home. It seems like it's a lot closer than it was when you went. We don't know how far, if you're not saved, you go back to birth. But we don't know how far a person may be when they got saved and started in a direction towards heaven and got on a ramp and began to move in a different direction and had to repent to get back on that line, get it back on the lane back towards heaven. What I'm just saying to you, a great thing is to know, why does it look like it's easier to go back home than away from home? The reason for it is, we know home's a good place. We know how close it is. But that's the other way, the desk is a long ways. So we go back, it's easier to go back where we started and get back faster than to keep going away from the Lord in sin. To me, it's amazing. God gives a lot of things to understand. There's got to be a turning around, moving in an opposite direction from the day that we're born in this body of flesh. The third thing I want you to notice, that in Romans chapter 12, it talks about a living sacrifice. Your service is also deflated. Not only is our sin distorted, not only is our hope diluted, our service is deflated. We see that. Desire to serve dwindles to the place where you no longer are interested in teaching. You're no longer interested in Sunday school or singing in the choir or winning souls or being an usher in the church or doing something for the Lord. Without the nourishment that comes from the reading of the Bible, all our services will slow down to a crawl. Because if we're not doing nothing but hearing, without spending some time with God with this book so He can speak to our heart more so than just hear and lose it. Because if we're hearing preaching many times and something catches our eye and we like it, we get it, but most of what we hear goes in here and comes out here. But when you're by yourself studying this book, God can speak to you because there's nobody else in the room except what He said when you read this book. And so our service is deflated, and it's very easy if a person is out of this. But most people who get out of church get out of this book. Most people who get out of church don't like to hear the preaching of this book. Because if they did, God uses preaching. I thank God for this. I know this as He gives the gifts I sowed in the church. And we read a few minutes ago, if those gifts are given, I know this, God uses preaching to get people into the family of God, and He uses teachers. He uses preachers to preach the gospel to get people in the family of God and also can teach, but He uses teachers to teach why we're in the family of God so we'll get a hunger for this book. And here we hear the voice of God. Every time I open this book and read these words, I am hearing the voice of God. Are you? It's precious to me. Every time I open it, even sometimes when I'm studying, I'll study and I'll quick, and I get through studying, I go to Psalms and start reading Psalms, because I realize what I'm reading is the voice of God, as God moved in the hearts of men to speak with words. God uses words. He uses languages to teach us in this life. And so without the nourishment that comes from reading the Bible and studying the Bible, our service will slow down to a crawl. And when that happens, we'll say, well, you know, this is not doing anything. I just don't have the time. I can't do this. You know, what happens is we forget what God's done for us Not in the sense that we were saved going to heaven, but there's more to it, because there's something in our lives can be service to serve Him. If we're going to serve anybody, we want to serve Him. Amen? We want to serve Him. So you don't, if you don't read this book and study this book, your sin is distorted, your hope is diluted, your service is deflated. And number four, when you don't read and study the Bible, your love is deadened. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, Church of Ephesus, you find that they left their first love in Ephesus, even though they were strong. And that's horrifying, folks, that we could be strong at one moment and then another period of time lose our first love. And did you know that can happen unless this book is constantly hid in our heart? Did you know without this book and the Word of God, we are allowed to do anything? And with this book, God has many times, because He's working against our will to infiltrate His Word in our mind for us to grasp it, to let's see what it can do for us in life. And so He said they left the first love. The only thing that keeps your love as alive is a continuous studying of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reminds us over and over again that when love is alive, it's acted, and love that is living never fails. If you ever find that your love for God, your love for the Word of God, your love for to church, your love for others has gotten cold and indifferent, it's probably because we have neglected God's Word. You can't really read and study this book by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God without God gripping your heart. And I think about even to the fact, when I go back to this, I didn't see it much, even to the fact when I was trying to narrate what it was like to be in heaven and see that last moment when I really saw God's face, when I really looked up to where He was sitting on the throne, imagination in my mind, I began to realize what a great joy it is to know now I can do everything right. Folks, does it bother you when you know things are wrong? It's not me. I'm doing pretty good. If that's the way you feel, you're wrong already. Because let's face it, there's something in us that if we don't hand up with the Word of God and with our lives, can erupt like a volcano anytime, any place. You know why? This old flesh still has not been redeemed. And you know something? Satan caters to it all the time. You can't even ride down the road without seeing billboards that caters to the flesh. You just look. Where do you go? Somebody ride by and give you a gesture. You say, don't bother me. Oh, yes, it does. If I could see your mind, I knew it bothered. Because we're not that good. We don't like to be thrown off on, do we? So what I'm saying to you, even though we're saved, this body is still corrupt. And that's the reason Paul cried out, the Apostle Paul cried, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So I asked you this. So let us read and start out this year the Scriptures daily, or at least often during the week, and pray God, Lord, I'm not studying for any particular thing now. I'm just going to read and study the book as I go through it. Would you help me? Holy Spirit, You live within me. I believe that. I claim the promise. I'm not a charismatic, but I claim the promise that the Holy Spirit God gave to me as Jesus promised the day I got saved. And though I've been a babe in Christ and gone through a lot of changes, I pray that I'm mature enough to understand this book. And the mere reading of it can give me insight to keep my mind with You, but the studying of it is hard work. And God, help me study it for the purpose of understanding more about what You've done. I don't ever get to the place that I began to move in a different direction away from God because I become dull of hearing, or because I find out that my sin has been distorted, or because that I've been, the love that I had for God one time is dead in some now. Because listen to me, folks, I may have to adjust, and you may have to adjust as you get older, but you don't never quit serving God. And that's the reason where the adjustment comes. You still serve God. And God, as my witness, I will serve until the day I die. I don't know the capacity of all that I'll be in, because there's certain things you can't do. But I know this, I'm going to serve until I die. And until He calls me home. And God can use where I'm at. I can't do what I did 30 years ago, but I can do what I do 78 years old. I can't get up these steps like I used to. I could jump off of this thing a few years ago. I can't even hardly climb steps now. But that's not going to make me slide back. That's going to make me find what I can do. My wife and I talked about it. You know, we may can't go now. In fact, I'm having trouble driving at night. I wish we had, I don't know. I'm having a problem. We have to get called to go. So have trouble. But I'm saying to you, there is adjustments, and God can, God understands physics. Don't you know Jesus Christ suffered for us? He knows what it is to suffer. And changes come. So what you end up doing is saying, Lord, my decision is headed the same direction. And I want to stay as close to you as I can, but at the same time, I understand there's some things I can't do now I used to do. But I'm going to still serve you. And by the way, that's the way it should be all of us. It should be all of us. I don't care what cripple, what is. I don't care where we're at. There's some. Did you know one thing that blessed me recently? Is some people in our age now who used to be leaders in our church and now in the past, they say, you know, I can't do what I used to do, but Brother Hiss, I pray for you every day of my life. You need prayer warriors. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? If someone ever comes to you and say, I pray for you every day, don't belittle that. Ladies and gentlemen, you know not, we need prayer. We're to pray without ceasing. So as we think about four things that happens when you don't read or study the Scriptures on a daily basis, or at least weekly basis. Our sin is distorted. Our hope is diluted. Our service is deflated. And our love for God begins to be deadened. How do I know that? Because when you find your love dead for the Lord, you begin to do less and less and less, unless there's a physical problem there for that. Understand that, you know, one thing, I think about this lady, Jody. You remember her? She had an accident and she paralyzed, what, from her neck down, I believe it was. And just thought at the time reading her story that she was just hopeless. She loved the Lord. She couldn't understand it. She just loved the Lord. But she found out that she could use her head up. Isn't that amazing? And what she did and wrote that book, I bet you she has done more probably for the Lord like she is than she would have a body where it was perfectly okay. But you need to be sure God's called you in that area. If you move up the ladder in God's family, be sure God has called you there, and then he'll honor that. So as we go into this year, God, give us the wisdom. Open this book and know it's the Word of God. And when you approach it, so what I'm fixing to open your Word, this is what I hear from you. Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you now to this book. I mean this, folks. I'm not telling you something that's playing some type of hypocritical play. I'm talking about I'm opening this book. And I want to hear from you as I open it, because I believe this is the absolute Word of God. I believe it so much that they call me anything you want to call me. I believe so much today that if God himself was here, this is what he'd quote to us. Would you stand to your feet, please? Father in heaven, I thank you again, Lord, for the precious Word of God. May this be a place to remind us who we are, where we're headed, and what God has called us to do. God, give us that wisdom to apply knowledge correctly. I was listening to a message back a few months ago. I preached about wisdom is the greatest thing. And Lord, I'm amazed how that word alone in knowledge, the fear of the Lord is beginning in wisdom, fear of the Lord is beginning in knowledge. Knowledge is important. If you don't have wisdom, you can't apply knowledge correctly. And Lord, I'm so grateful that even now, there are times that when you do something as far as God have you to do, you do it because you know it's right, and then months or a few years later, you go back and you listen, and you say, man alive, this means more to me now to hear that than it did when I actually preached that message. And I believe, Lord, it's because every message that sought your face for in this book, every research that's done, God gives words at that time, but every message or every lesson taught has more to it than just what we hear. And sometimes we're in and out. Sometimes our mind is not alert. Sometimes we find ourselves concentrating. Sometimes we're distracted and we miss things. Then we go back and hear it again in the quietness of the hour when just you and that individual person, or you and myself, if it's me, can read, prayerfully pray, and know that God's in the midst, and know that you hear our prayer when we speak, and we hear your word when we read this book. Help us this year to be the best, whatever it may be. Some of us may be home in glory for next year. We've lost some good people in our church, Lord. I mean people who really were faithful people. And yet in heaven, they served you here because they know they're going to stand before you one day. And so we're doing the same thing. You left us here for a reason and want every day to count for you. Yes, we go about our daily tasks, Lord, but when we go there, we're still that ambassador. We must never forget that wherever we go, you're still the first and foremost. And Lord, help us practice that in this life. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.